Would you please turn to Psalm 107? Psalm 107. Well, the Bible tells us this morning, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And my agenda this morning in preaching this message is to, I have no personal agenda here, it's to enable you to tell your story. I want you to have an amazing story to tell about the goodness of God, about the deliverance of God, about the healing of God, about the goodness of God in your life. That's what a Christian is destined to do. We are destined to have a story, a good story about the goodness of God and the love of God in our lives. Now, I know there are many situations in our lives in which we experience the opposite, where we experience hurt and pain and destitution. And there are many possible situations in which we need the practical experience of God's grace in our lives to overcome these situations. And, sometimes we are not very grateful. Can I tell you a story of a small town prosecuting attorney? And he called his first witness to the stand in a trial. She was an older woman, a grandmotherly, elderly woman. He approached her and asked, Mrs. Jones, do you know me? She responded, well, yes, I know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, and you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot when you haven't the brains to realize that you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you. The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what to do or where to look, he pointed across the room and asked, Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney? She replied, why, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster. I used to babysit him for his parents. And he, too, has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, bigoted, and he has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the poorest in the entire area. Yes, I know him. At this point, there was uproar in the court, and the judge ordered the courtroom to be silent and called both lawyers to the bench. And in a very quiet, hushed voice, he said very seriously, if either of you asks her if she knows me, you'll be jailed. You'll be jailed for contempt. If this story has a point, it's this. We've all been hurt by the words of other people, and we have all hurt other people by our words. If there's anybody here to whom that has not happened, then please leave now, because this message is not for you. Okay? We've all been hurt. We all need grace. We are all Mephibosheth. We all have the potential, therefore, to tell an amazing story. Because we all need grace, we all have the potential for an amazing story. Because you know what? That's why stuff happens in life. So that we can tell an amazing story about the fact that our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher than any other. Our God is able to help us to overcome in every situation in life that confronts us. Whether that's a heart attack, whether that's a financial problem, whether that's a relationship problem, whether it's a financial problem, our God is greater, our strong, our God is higher, our God is stronger than any other power in the universe. Amen? So we've all been hurt. You see, I could tell you the story of the Methodist minister, the Catholic priest, and the head teacher, all of whom, at one stage in life or another, have carpeted me. Okay? Methodist minister in Africa, a Catholic priest in England, and a head teacher in a certain part of this county. This head teacher, his management style was not Mother Teresa-ish, shall I say. Okay? It was more like Stalinist. Okay? It was a dictatorship. Nobody ever stepped out of line. His management style was called carpeting. Okay? He carpeted you if you ever stepped out of line, in his opinion. So, yes, I know what it feels like, in the words of the psalm this morning, to have your life ebb away. Have you ever had, I'm sure you've had that feeling when you felt the life literally going out of you. Yeah? When somebody or something has happened to you in life and it just takes the morale, the motivation, the enthusiasm, the mojo. It's gone up and gone. It's left you. Well, I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to wander in a desert wasteland. So yes, I know what it feels like to desperately need grace, to need the presence of God. I know what it feels like to lie in bed, hoping to fall asleep before I fall apart, and to feel so sad that it physically hurts inside. Yes, you've been there, I've been there. I know what it feels like to act like it's no big deal when really it's breaking your heart. I know what it feels like to think, I'm going to be this way for the rest of my life. I'm never going to get better. This is never going to go away. Lots of people need grace right now in our world, including God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians. One estimate I read said that probably a third of us gathered in this room right now are hurting in some way or another. And if you aren't hurting now, you will hurt one day. We hurt in relationships. Sometimes we hurt in our marriages, in our family, in our work, or even in our church. It's a fact of life. We hurt because of rejection. Maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you didn't get a job that you desperately wanted. Maybe somebody has hurt you by their words. Maybe you've been hurt by loss. And I know there are several people in this room this morning who have lost a loved one, lost a mom or a dad or a spouse over the last number of years. You can lose your health. So, yes, we all know what it feels like. But if we have a change of mentality, if we have a paradigm shift so that we actually begin to realize that these things happen in life and that God is sovereign, that God is over all, that God knows and that God has a plan in everything that happens to you. It doesn't mean to say he causes everything, but what it does mean is that God has a plan for every eventuality that happens to you and me in our lives. You see, let me talk to maybe 3-4 groups of people here this morning. There are those, first of all, who are weak and fainting. You've lost your strength. Let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Many of you will know it, but I just want to read it from the Message version of the Bible this morning. It says, "Are you tired?" Maybe you're tired this morning. "Worn out, burnt out on religion. Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't let anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you learn to live freely and lightly." You may know it in terms of, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." In other words, when you and I fail to rely on God, when you and I fail to draw aside and spend time with God and in the presence of God, we tend to get faint and we wear down very easily. Because God is a refresher. To be with God is to receive encouragement. To be in the presence of God is to be changed forever. You'll never be the same again once you've been in the presence of God. And once you've been in the presence of God, you get drawn back time and time and time again. Come to Jesus. Learn the amazing refreshment that you receive when you come into the presence of God. Now, I want you to imagine an oil lamp with a wick. The wick is placed in oil, and then it's lit. If the oil runs out, what happens? The wick burns. The wick burns first, then it goes out. As long as there is oil in the lamp, the wick doesn't burn. And by the same token, as long as we are living in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, as long as we are living in the presence of God, there is always oil in our lamps. And we never burn out. You see, who's burning this morning? Are you burning, or is it the oil that is in your lamp? Because if there is no oil in your lamp, you will burn out. And so this morning, I encourage you, if you are tired, if you are thirsty, if you are ready to faint, there is grace for you in Jesus today. Amen? There is a huge well of grace. He will never let you down. He will never fail you nor forsake you. He can give you power so that today you leave this place full of strength, full of energy, and full of encouragement. Even as you're listening to this now, take heart, take strength, be of good cheer, be encouraged this morning. Start afresh. If you are exhausted from dancing to somebody else's drum, we get exhausted from dancing to other people's tunes sometimes. Or if you've been manipulated by religion, come and experience the grace of God. Religion manipulates us. Jesus liberates us. If you stopped drinking in his presence, come and experience grace and a fresh start this morning. Is there anybody in this place who needs a fresh start this morning? So first of all, there are those who are weak and those who are fainting. Secondly, there's a group of people here maybe who are hurting. Some may even have allowed this hurt to fester and to separate them from God altogether. The Lord is longing for you to turn to him this morning because he wants to say to you, I am the only one who can heal your broken heart. I'm the one who heals the brokenhearted. I have that special gift. Nobody else can do that for you. Don't look to men. Look to me. Trust in God this morning. Some trust in chariots and horses. But God wants to say to you, just trust in me and I will bring you healing and restoration. Yes, I had a bad story to tell. Yes, I wanted to fall asleep before I fell apart. All that stuff that I could make a poem out of or even write a song about it. But you know what? I have a story to tell. Because God blessed me and God healed me and God brought me to a broad and a spacious land. God met my every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So why do these things happen to us? And I've reflected on this, and I've tried to learn. And the conclusion that I've come to is this. We get hurt. Sometimes we get seriously hurt in situations, not because people want to hurt us, not because we are incompetent, not even because it's an attack of the devil. We get hurt sometimes because God wants to show us something. That might not be an easy thing to take for us, but God actually wanted to show me things in myself that he wanted to deal with. If he was going to take me to a higher level, if he was going to do something greater with me, if he was going to give me a bigger anointing in my life, God had to do something in me. And the only way he could get through to me was to allow somebody to hurt me. So it was a Methodist minister, it was a Catholic priest, and it was a head teacher. Do I resent them? No, I don't. What do I say? I say, thank you. Thank you that you brought me to a higher level of anointing, because God brought me to a place where I could forgive. You see, God sometimes wants to show us that there is something of the old man or old woman still living, still kicking experientially inside of us. We've been crucified with Christ, yes, but experientially. That old man is still living. Remember, somebody once said, a dead man cannot get hurt. So does this mean that you mustn't feel anything? That somehow we must become insensitive, unfeeling machines? Absolutely not. Because we're never going to reach that point where we don't feel anything. We always feel things. We're human beings. We're not human doings. We're human beings and we feel. And we get hurt. So that's never going to stop. So that might be bad news for you this morning. But that isn't going to stop. You will get hurt. You will still get hurt. The part that has died is the hard-hearted, uncaring individual who cannot forgive. When Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, if we have died with Christ, forgiveness is alive in you. If you have died with Christ, power is alive within you. If you have died with Christ, overcoming grace is alive within you. If you have died with Christ, you will never ever give up, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, power is present. It's present to overcome emotional issues. It's present to overcome even personality issues. It's present in you to overcome all issues of the flesh. Paul was able to go on, having declared, I have been crucified with Christ. He was able to go on and suffer incredibly for Jesus. 5 times, he said, I've received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. He went on to say that he was beaten with rods. He was pelted with stones. He was in danger from bandits, in danger from his fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from false believers. Paul went through incredible suffering, incredible hardship, incredible hurt from other human beings. But why was he able to push on with his ministry? He was able to press on because God had given him a shed load of grace. No other reason. You see, that's why I believe that grace is much more important as an experience than it is as a doctrine. Grace is an experience. There is grace for those who are hurting. There is grace for those who have been crucified with Christ, who live now no longer in themselves, but in whom the power and the love and the forgiveness of Christ is present. So there is grace for those who are weak this morning. There is grace for those who are hurting. There is grace for those who are disobedient, because those who are disobedient also need grace. There is grace for those who are in sin. if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there is grace for every sin, believer or unbeliever. If we confess our sins, the Bible says he forgives us. But there is also grace for those who remain in sin. Because there is somebody who sins, but there is somebody who remains in sin. Now I want to tell you this morning about the purpose of grace for somebody who remains in sin. The purpose of grace for somebody who remains in sin is not to give you a spirit of comfort. It's not to comfort you in your sin. It's not to condone your sin. It's not to say it's okay to go on sinning. The Bible says where sin abounds, there grace abounds all the more. The grace abounds not to condone you. The grace abounds to deliver you. Amen? That's what grace is for. Grace has two purposes. Grace is to forgive us, and that's all encompassing. When we confess and turn away, we are forgiven. But the other purpose of grace is always to deliver us from the situation of sin, from habits of sin. God does not want you to stay where you are, if that's you this morning. You know what it says? God loves you as you are, but he doesn't want you to stay where you are. God gives you grace. And there's grace in abundance, because where the habit of sin abounds, there the power of grace abounds all the more. It doesn't matter what the sin is. Can I say it this morning? Homosexuality. God can deliver you from homosexuality. Adultery. God can deliver you from adultery. Fornication. Drugs. Alcohol. All these habits of sin that we can fall into. The grace of God abounds in our lives to deliver us from all of those things. But here this morning, there may also be those who are alone, another group of people. And I'm not talking about being without a partner. I'm actually talking this morning about being without God in your life. Because if you've got God in your life, you're never alone. You're never alone. There's always somebody with you. So, but if you haven't got God in your life, you can be very much alone. A young man was asked by his father to help move a tree stump to clear the ground for a garden. He pushed and strained, but he could not move the piece of dead wood. When he walked back into the house, his dad asked him, was he successful in moving the wood? And his son said no, to which his dad replied, did you use all your strength? To which he replied, yes, I did, but I still couldn't move the tree trunk. And then his dad said to him, no, you didn't, he said, because you didn't ask me to help you. And so in life, sometimes we can be straining, we can be trying with all our strength and with all our might and all our mind. We may think we are good people, and we are good people. We may think that things should be working out for me. But I want to ask you this morning, are you doing it on your own? Are you trying to make a go of it on your own? Are you trying to do it in your own strength? You see, we are not designed to go through life on our own. We are designed to need God and to need each other. So maybe this morning you're among that group. I don't know everybody who's here, but maybe you need to turn to God this morning. So in conclusion, what can we do this morning? Just four things to finish with. Remember these four things. Number one, confront the wreckage. Don't walk away from it. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. Confront whatever has happened. Confront whatever has been said. Walk right up to it and say, in the name of Jesus, I bring you down. The name of Jesus is higher than this. The name of Jesus is stronger than this. And what I mean here is you take responsibility. When you confront something, you don't confront in order to accuse or point the finger. Because that's always counterproductive, in relationships especially. When you confront somebody, you confront with a view to taking responsibility. A kind word turns away anger. And so what do? We say to ourselves, what responsibility do I have in the fact that this happened to me in life? Did I have a part to play? Yes, they said this. Yes, they did that. Yes, they hurt me. But what responsibility did I have? You see, the only thing that you and I have power over is our own will. What we can do. Our part of the problem. We have no control over what somebody else does. What somebody else says. I have no control over what you do or what you say. You're here this morning because you want to be here, not because I twist your arm up your back. You come here voluntarily. So I have no power over your life. But I have got power over my life. I can accept responsibility for the part that I played in the hurt that came to me. So maybe I did something. Maybe I said something. Maybe there was something in me that actually brought this about. Ask the Lord to search your heart. That's confronting the wreckage. Number two, call to God. Because the psalm this morning says, in each situation where they found themselves in a difficult situation, the Bible says they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. That's the second thing. Number three, expect God to act. Because they cried out to him, and the Bible says, and what did he do? And he delivered them. Expect God to deliver you. Expect God to heal you. Expect God to give you the breakthrough that you need. So confront the wreckage. Call out to God. Expect God to act. And finally, in all circumstances, give thanks to God. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.